But today, I'm going to do something different, something that we do once a year, every single year on this particular Sunday. But we will begin our time together in God's Word. And so, if you brought God's Word with you, if you would please open to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. If you have not brought your Bible with you, this is my weekly shaming of you all. Bring your Bible with you. It'll be great. But if you didn't, the text from which I will be reading will be on the screen. Psalm 66. Would you stand, please, as we honor the reading of God's Word this morning? Occasionally, I will read the word Selah and pause, and there's a reason for that. The best academic guess as to what Selah means is to pause and reflect. That's why they are in the Psalms, and so I will read it and pause as we are instructed to do by the Psalm when we reach that portion. To the choir master, a psalm. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in His deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in Him who rules by His might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because He has not rejected my prayer or removed His steadfast love from me. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Now, once a year, we set apart a Sunday to celebrate what has happened in the previous year of ministry at our church and to also kind of look ahead as to what we anticipate God will be up to in our church in the coming year. And to some, I will freely admit, this may seem like a self-aggrandizing victory lap, an exercise in, we'll look here at all that we have done. And if we thought for a moment that all that God has done or all that we would anticipate God might do in the coming year had anything at all to do with any person in this room or collectively had anything to do with us at all, you would be absolutely right. But our purpose today is not to say, come and see what Blue Valley has done. Instead, our purpose today is to do as the psalmist said and say, come and see what God has done. You see, over and over again in the Psalms, you see the writers celebrating God's goodness towards Israel, lest Israel let that goodness become so commonplace to them and so common to them that they took it for granted. And every year, we want to stop, like the psalm is instructing Israel to do. We want to stop, and we want to thank God for what He has done so that we do not take for granted what God is doing in our midst. Because, folks, believe it or not, things have not always been great at Blue Valley. Now, I'll give you, for most of our history, this church has been blessed with an unusual peace and an unusual love in community for one another. But nestled really kind of in the middle of our history is a period of dark conflict and a precipitous decline many years ago. So why do I bring it up? To just simply remind you that God doesn't have to keep continuing to do what he is doing here, and we need to not at all take it for granted. Now, let me also say, I don't believe that God is only doing something at Blue Valley. I don't believe that at all. In fact, I don't believe that God is only doing something at Blue Valley within a mile of us. Pastor Tim and Grace Church, right down the street, doing a great job of reaching our community. Pastor Tony at Redeemer Presbyterian, right down the street, doing a great job of reaching our community. I praise God for what is going on at those churches. But this is my church. And I am telling you, in 32 years of vocational ministry, and then growing up in church, I've never been a part of a season of church life like this one, and I don't want to take it for granted. Do you want to take it for granted? Good. I'm glad. That's response right there. That's good. Keep it up. That'll be great. So let's think about what God has done this past year. And when I think back on the past year, I think the thing that is really going to come to mind for me is how our church family finally really kind of bought into the five habits of a Jesus follower. You see, it was 9 years ago, this very month, in fact, this very Sunday, where you heard as a church for the first time that a follower of Jesus is someone who surrenders their earthly and eternal life to Jesus, who sustains their walk with Jesus by the power that he supplies, who sacrifices their time, talents, and resources in following Jesus, who shines with the love and life of Jesus so that they earn the right to share their story of following Jesus with others. 9 years ago this month, in fact, this very Sunday, you heard for the first time that a follower of Jesus is someone who surrenders, sustains, sacrifices, shines, and shares. Heard that for 9 years, but here's what we began to see. You knew largely as an attender at Blue Valley Baptist Church that there were five habits, but you would go surrender, sucker, sacrifice, sassafras. I mean, you really didn't know what they were. We began to see that there was a struggle in knowing what they were. So we decided we're going to do our very best to make sure that you can't come to Blue Valley and not know what they are. And so this past year, we've handed out over 1,000 of these little rubber blue bracelets. How many people have one on today, out of curiosity? Many of you have one on today. Maybe you've lost it. Maybe it's broken. We've got more bags of them. You make sure you grab one on the way out. And then thanks to the generosity of a church member, refrigerator magnets got printed up that have the habits on them, and many of you have taken those, and we still have some of those available. So we worked to make sure you knew that the habits had words and you knew what the words were. We've also increased our signage so that when you come on campus, and this is recent, when you come on campus, you can see what we're about and what those five habits are. But we wanted to do more than just make sure you knew the words. We wanted to make sure you knew what to do with them. Because you see, we knew that most of us didn't know what the words were, but then those that did really struggled to know, what am I supposed to do with these five habits? And so we began to teach you and talk to you about declarations that we would make if we were practicing those habits, and we emphasized those this past year, first through a sermon series and then through repeatedly telling you. So we have this declaration attached to surrender, which says that I will daily submit to Jesus as my King. Very often what we do is we think that surrender is simply about entering the gates of heaven, that we surrender ourselves to Jesus as Savior. But the concept of surrender in Scripture is about surrendering on a daily basis to Jesus as my King. When I surrender myself to follow Jesus, I surrender my will to Him as my King and seek to live my life at His direction. So we talked about the surrender declaration. And then we have spent time talking about the declaration one would make with the sustain habit, and that is I will discipline myself to experience God's transforming power. And that calls attention to the very important idea, the extremely important idea of practicing what are classically called the spiritual disciplines. The spiritual disciplines are those habits devotionally that people who are really growing in Christ and being transformed by Christ find themselves adhering to on a regular basis. Bible intake, reading it personally, Bible intake through experiencing it in worship together, prayer, spending time in prayer, praising God in prayer, interceding for others in prayer, interceding for my needs in prayer. Then things that we don't tend to think much about in Baptist life, the practice of silence. All you have to do is get on social media. Know that Baptists are terrible about practicing silence, just sitting and not speaking, but waiting to be spoken to by God. Solitude, which goes along with it. Fasting, which we probably ought not to talk much about since we're going to have a huge barbecue meal tonight. But fasting, those things, and what we see historically in Christianity is that when people practice these disciplines, the spiritual disciplines, these devotional disciplines, then they are placed in a position where God can begin to have his way in our lives, which is to make us look more like Jesus, so that our lives begin to look like Jesus' life if he were living our life for us. So, the sustain habit. I will discipline myself to experience God's transforming power. Sacrifice. I will offer myself to God and others beyond what is comfortable. Something we really need to latch on to in the American church. We tend to say, I will offer myself to God and others as long as it works with my schedule, or I can fit it in between my kids' ball practices or these 55 habits that I have. But instead, what we're supposed to do as followers of Jesus is to sacrifice and offer ourselves to God and his will and his work and to others beyond what might ordinarily be comfortable to me. Shine. I will reflect the life of Christ as I engage the cultures around me. So when I go into the world, whether the world is out my back door and I'm talking to my neighbors, whether my world is my work and I'm talking to my coworkers, whether my world is my school and I'm talking to my classmates, wherever my world is and whatever culture is represented there, which may be a culture that has a one-to-one correlation with my culture, or in a place like Johnson County, which is increasingly becoming more and more pluralistic, engaging a culture that is nothing like yours at all. You carry with you into that culture a reflection of the life and love of Jesus Christ. And then finally, the shared declaration. I will share my story of following Jesus wherever he places me. He's placed me in my neighborhood. I will share my story of following Jesus with my neighbors. He's placed me in my business environment. I will share my story of following Jesus with my coworkers. I will share my story of following Jesus with my classmates, sharing our story. These are the declarations. So what we've tried to do through these declarations is give you handles that you can attach to these things so that you know what to do with them. So as I think about this past year, the thing that's going to come up in my mind more than anything else is the idea that finally we began to really understand what the habits were and began to understand what we should do with them. But there are other things that I'm going to remember as I think through this past year. And they tend to orbit around special services of worship. The first service that I'm going to think of as I look back on this past year is our giving thanks service that we had the Sunday night before Thanksgiving. This room was full, people from both campuses, and you know, we gathered together to ask the Lord's blessings. Did we sing that? We may have sung that Sunday before Thanksgiving, but what really is the high point of that is that that night we ordained our lay elders, the first lay elders in the history of Blue Valley Baptist Church, and those men were lined up here, and they had people come and pray over them in ordination, and then we committed ourselves to them, and they committed themselves to us, and it was a high watermark. I'll remember that as long as I'm drawing breath, how special that night was. And then just less than a month later, we had the largest worship event in the history of Blue Valley Baptist Church. Our Christmas Eve services, five of them this year, spread out over two campuses, saw over 1,550 people come. on a snowy Christmas Eve to worship Jesus, which proves that Baptists actually can come to church in suboptimal weather. And then the other service that I'm going to remember that was really special to me kind of came together at the last minute, and that was our family reunion, where, again, people from both campuses gathered here at the end of June, and we sang all kinds of music, and we heard testimonies, and we had communion together, and then afterwards, hundreds of us went out there and absolutely annihilated some food trucks. And you all were having so much fun that I got tired of you and I left. So we had a whole bunch of Baptists completely unsupervised by any of the staff or pastors just milling around our parking lot for a while. But I'll remember those services, and that was really neat. Other thing I'm going to remember is how God sustained us in a period of time that sometimes is really dicey for church, and that is staff transitions. Pastor Steve Scott, our Ridgeview campus pastor, first campus pastor we had over there, left to become the lead pastor at First Baptist Church Baser this past spring, and that was the first time in over a decade. Stop with me and think about that. The first time in over a decade we had an opening on the pastoral staff at Blue Valley Baptist Church. And that could have been a real troubling thing for our church, but thanks to the wisdom of those that were a part of Blue Valley Baptist Church 12 years ago when they reconfigured their bylaws, and then reaffirmed by a new generation of Blue Valley when we reconfigured our bylaws just 2 years ago, the church has invested in the elders the opportunity to address these needs and then bring those solutions to you. And so rather than spend months in transition, as many churches do, and some churches our size spend over a year in transition, we were able to make several changes in a period of weeks. Pastor Darren became our Ridgeview campus pastor and has been over there since March. We transitioned Jonathan from being the minister to students here at the Antioch campus to being the minister of adults here at the Antioch campus. And then we rescued Micah Hayes from Tennessee and brought him, and he came on staff to be our minister of students here at the Antioch campus. And every one of those transitions has just gone unbelievably well, and God has been glorified because of the work that these men are doing in their different positions. And how smoothly that went is something I'll always remember. So, thinking back on things that great and how well those things have gone, it should come as no surprise to us that this year has been the highest attended year of weekly worship that we've ever had in the history of our church. When we turn all of that into the convention here in a few weeks, our average worship attendance Sunday to Sunday in the 2017-18 church year is going to be somewhere between 830 and 840. And that means that there were days where we had, you know, 950 people here, and then there were days, you know, when it drizzled and there were 25 here, you know, because again, Baptist. But when you factor all of that together, our average attendance is going to be the highest in Blue Valley history, and it looks like it's going well in the future, because just last week across both campuses we had 900 in worship. So God's been doing some great things. So what can we look forward to in the coming year? Well, for starters, this fall represents the 40th anniversary of Blue Valley Baptist Church. We actually began to meet a year before that as a mission, as families got together and met, but we constituted as a church for the first time on September the 24th, 1978. And so this fall is the 40th anniversary, and we'll set apart time periodically to celebrate our 40th anniversary. The worship ministry is actually going to give us three opportunities to celebrate that anniversary, two of which focus on the fine arts. And the first is coming up at the end of September, a theatrical presentation of the life of C.S. Lewis. If you've not yet heard about it, you're about to. Direct your attention to the screens.
My name is C.S. Lewis, but do feel free to call me Jack. SPB stands for Small Piggy Bottom. I said, well, I would mind them very much if they were on my feet, but on yours, I said, they look very appropriate. When I got into that sidecar, I did not believe that Christ was God. When I got out an hour and a half later at Whipsnade Zoo, I did. I had come to see that the story of Christianity was primarily the story of that one grand miracle, I was fortunate enough to have Tollers read to me almost the entire manuscript of The Lord of the Rings as it was being written and long before it was ever published. Do you know I was enthralled even though I'd written it myself? And the pig got up and slowly walked away. I said, "Joy, look at me. I'm 57 years old. I'm getting plumper by the day, and I'm soon to go bald, I'm quite sure. Who's going to marry me?" She said, "That's a very persuasive argument, Jack." She was my mother and my daughter, my pupil and my teacher. My subject to my sovereign. But all the leaves of the New Testament are rustling with the rumor that it will not always be so. One day, God willing, I will enter in.
There's an actor from the United Kingdom. He's going to be here, and it'll be as close to having C.S. Lewis in the room with you as you can imagine, but that'll be September the 29th from 7 to about 9, right, John? 7 to 9. You will need a ticket to get in. You don't have to pay for these tickets, but you absolutely will need a ticket, and instructions exist on our website of how to grab those tickets. There's a special code. It's a very elaborate code, BVBC. That's the code that you can use this week to get those tickets. They're only available to us this week. After that, they're open to the public. So you need to make sure, not right now, but you need to make sure that you get those tickets as soon as possible, because they are available beginning September 1st to everyone. So that's the first thing. And then we'll actually have a 40th anniversary celebration service on November the 18th, Sunday morning, November the 18th. We're excited about that. That'll take place here. And then the final event, again, a fine arts event, will be an opening night gala featuring a series of original artwork that is currently being created specifically for Blue Valley to help us focus on the advent of Christ during our Advent season. That art will be presented to us. Those art pieces will actually be available to be purchased, and we'll have those prominently displayed throughout the Advent season, again, all in conjunction with the 40th anniversary. So the 40th anniversary will offer us some unique opportunities this fall, but we will also continue to make certain that these five S's, the five habits of a Jesus follower, are being ingrained in us and knowing what we are to do with them. And so you will hear these habits emphasized in two-month increments, starting with Shine this fall, and then after a couple of months, we'll move on to Sacrifice, and we'll just kind of wander our way through the five habits for these next 10 months or so, and you will hear them emphasized in our preaching and our teaching and in some of our programming. So those are things that are coming. As far as worship, or as far as sermon series go, beginning in 2 weeks, we're going to start a new series of messages called What is My Best Life? You hear that language a lot. What is my best life? You see people say on Instagram or whatever that they are living their best life and post pictures that I'm not certain represent the best life. So we're going to talk about what the best life is, and we're going to use the book of Colossians to kind of drive that home for us. So that will happen this fall. Then we'll have our Advent series beginning in the first of the year. We'll have a message series from the New Testament book of Titus. Then we will prepare for Easter by looking at the final hours of the life of Christ. And then that will be followed by a series that will take us through the end of spring and through the summer, called Bible Passages That Every Jesus Follower Should Know, and we will look at the most important passages in Scripture for us. So those are the things that are coming. But by far, the most important things that we need to do, the three goals that we need to strive for in the coming year, are what I'm about to share with you. And you've listened along politely as I have talked about things thus far, but what I'm going to share with you right now are things that we all need to be paying attention to, because this is what's going to drive us in the coming year. And the first of those areas critically needed to be addressed by our church is the area of indebtedness. Indebtedness. In the past 10 years, Blue Valley has incurred about $5.5 million of indebtedness to expand this room by 250 seats, purchase the annex and remodel it, create our current children's area, rework our student area, upgrade our tech, and to completely remodel and modernize the Ridgeview campus. And we've paid about $4.5 million of that $5.5 million worth of debt off, which is terrific. However, the challenge is that when we began to incur this indebtedness 10 years ago, we still had $1.6 million worth of indebtedness that was incurred in building this building in 2001. So we actually have a grand total of indebtedness that we service out of our budget of about $2.7 million worth of debt. Now, we can continue on business as usual and pay that money out of our budget, and we'll eventually pay it off in 12 to 13 years. The problem is that this ties up money that we could otherwise be using for ministry as well as use for general upkeep on our facilities. Even more importantly, we are not currently in a position to launch another campus if God presented that opportunity to us. In fact, I've never talked about this publicly at all, but 20 months ago, a local church approached us about potentially merging with them, and when our staff met with their pastor and saw their facility, we just had to walk away from it, didn't have any further meetings. Now, don't get me wrong. Our reasons for walking away were driven primarily by ministry concerns, but there were significant financial concerns, which just made this impossible for us to do. That's why we never pursued it. That's why we never talked to you about it. I only mention this to you to illustrate that we can no longer lollygag, and that is a technical term from the hills of Oklahoma. We can no longer lollygag around with our debt. Our sacrifice declaration says that we will offer ourselves to God and others beyond what is comfortable. So by the time I stand up here next year, we need to have an agreed-to plan for aggressively retiring our debt. The second critical area, and these are building towards the most important thing in my view. The second critical area is that we need to address the area of outreach. Outreach. As I said earlier, our shed declaration is that we will share our story of following Jesus wherever He places us. Notice that that declaration does not say that we will invite people to come to church to figure out what Jesus is all about. The days, listen to me very closely, I've said this to you, but you need to hear it. The days of us expecting random lost people to come walking into church, or even responding to your invitation to come to church, are over. They are never coming back. And right now, Blue Valley is positioned to reach Johnson County for Christ if we can go back to 1980. We have to realize that those days are over. And so we are aware that we need to make this transition to personal responsibility for sharing. And we are also aware that many of you are wanting to do that, but you don't really know how to go about that, and you also don't know how we might help you go about that. So, by the time I stand up here next year, we will need to have an agreed-to philosophy of outreach that you guys know like that. If I ask you what our philosophy of outreach was, we need to have an agreed philosophy of outreach and begin to aggressively, personally, intentionally engage the lostness around us. And then finally, the critical area, the most important that we need to address, is the area of discipleship. On the walls out there, it says that Blue Valley Baptist Church exists to glorify God by helping people follow Jesus. That's the discipleship process in a nutshell. And that is what we say that we're all about. And if I ask the average person at Blue Valley a question about church life, for instance, how do we connect people? You'd say, well, most of you, we connect people through Sunday school. That's how we form relationships. But if I ask you how we fulfill our mission of helping people follow Jesus, how we disciple people in our church, then what I tend to hear is either silence or a hodgepodge of answers. As a matter of fact, you don't even have an agreed-to understanding of what discipleship is. Some people think discipleship is learning more information about Jesus, and some people think discipleship is some kind of moral remodel of our lives, and some people think that discipleship is perhaps, you know, doing nice things for people. But we need to come to a point where we understand that discipling someone is helping people follow Jesus, and for their lives to become like Jesus' life was, if he was living it in their place. So when I stand up here next year, we will need to have agreed to a philosophy of discipleship about how that will actually happen. And we need to begin to aggressively and personally glorify God by helping people follow Jesus. And folks, I believe that these three goals, to define and get active in how we'll retire debt, to define and get active in how we do outreach, to define and get active in how we disciple, will be determinative in what kind of church we're going to be at our 50th anniversary. Just 10 years from now, we will celebrate a half century of kingdom work. And what kind of church that we are going to be, and what kind of individual Christians that we are going to be as a part of this church, is going to be driven in large part by these three key areas that have to be addressed. So, if you're a guest here with us today, it's what kind of church we are. If you've been here for a long time, you know where we need to head. And all of us need to make a commitment to that right now. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, please.